Welcome to People's Rights, everybody. It's great to have you all here. We've got a full agenda today. But before we get into that, Eileen has a special presentation for our lovely Ken and Brendan. So Eileen, come on up.
I'm just here to say thank you to Brendan and Kenny, who are always here setting up the video and recording. So I got them, you guys, some pizza. You guys already finished it. Pizza and soda, and a little gift for you to say thank you for supporting People's Rights Group. Everyone, can we give them applause, please?
All right, so we don't say it nearly enough, but you guys are the beating heart of what we do, so we really appreciate it. So we've got a lot to get to today, and I'll be giving you some updates after our speakers are done about things that are going on with people's rights, and there's a lot going on with Ammon Bundy's situation in Idaho. And so I'll be talking about that. But to get right to it, we're going to introduce Ben. And Ben is going to talk to us today about new voter registration at the naturalization ceremony that takes place once a month, I think. Is it once a month?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're going out there and registering new Americans to vote. So I'd like to introduce Ben, and come on up and tell us what you got going. Thanks.
Hey, everybody. So if you don't know me already, I'm Ben, and I live in L.A. County. And I decided that a lot of people were doing a lot of talking, and nobody was doing a lot of doing. And so I was like, what could we actually do to register voters that's easy? Sorry if I'm lazy, but hey, you know what? We don't have a lot of people. So I saw that, hey, you know, there's a registration ceremony that happens for all the brand new voters. Brand new citizens. And I had talked about it, you know, with some other people, Bonnie. And, you know, we kind of let it stew for a little bit. And then the day before, I decided, you know what? We just can't not do it. It's not that hard. You just go out there with the forms and give it a shot. And so when we got there, I figured out that, of course, the Marxists are already there with the LA County seal, mind you, right? And we learned very, very quickly about how exactly this was going to go down. And we waited our turn, essentially, for the new applicants to come out of the building, and they had already basically had these forms given to them by the Marxists. Wow. And I call them Marxists because they are Marxists. Let's not keep it. Yes, they're actually fascists. Yes. Yes. So, they already had it, their form. Oh, we already have it done. We already had it done. I think we might have only gotten one fresh form at that time from a brand new citizen. And so they basically have no idea what's going on. They got here, they think, some of them, English is not their first language, they think democracy means Democrat. And, hey, it'd be nice if it still meant that, but it doesn't. And it probably almost never did when you look at the history. So it's not that, we don't like Democrats. I mean, we wish they would just, you know, use their brain, but they don't. And they just vote in lockstep, unfortunately. So, we've got a lot of work to do on that front. But the brand new citizen, they are literally a brand new citizen. Like, they know more about American history probably than many. Well, maybe not us, but maybe before we woke up, they probably knew a lot more about Americans. They have to take a test, right? But I guarantee you've seen some of the videos where they pull off, some little Gen Zer, whatever, just out of high school, and they can't even name, you know, three countries and whatnot. So, I mean, let's just keep it 100. Like, they know more than the average American citizen, these new brand new citizens. So they are very, very important that we make sure that we step in front of them and be like, hey, look, you did all this work. let's not throw it down the drain by voting for Marxism, where you just, I mean, you or your family probably fled. So it's very, very important. So with that learning lesson in the morning, we basically said, hey, you know what? Well, we didn't do anything. We're going to have to stay. And so we had a nice little table and whatnot. And forgive me, I don't have a giant projector to show you our pictures. But after, you can come and ask me, and I'll show you the pictures of our table and whatnot. And it looks pretty nice. Thanks to Claudia Gross, who ran for State Senate. She donated some flag and patriotic material, so we had some stuff. And yeah, so essentially, we basically waited for the next ceremony. There's one in the morning, and there's one in the afternoon. So this time, I saw what the Marxists did, excuse me, and I just did what they did. And so I was like, hey, let's just get in the line and where they are and start asking them, hey, registered to vote yet? No, obviously not. So, okay, cool. You can do it while you're waiting in line. Here you go. Clipboard, everything, count of the pen and everything. Just like you're basically turning into a salesperson, right? So you make sure you do all the proper psychosomatic actions to make sure that they're signing the paper. Like you do here, your name is there, and they start just kind of following along with you. And we did much, 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 much better that time. So I'm pretty sure we got I want to say that we only, okay, let's just say, okay, we got maybe, 15 registrations that day? And let's just say we only got 2 in the morning, and then the rest were during the afternoon. And that's not bad for the first time, because there's just 4 of us out there. It was Jane, Angela, Bonnie, and myself. That's right. Eileen, excuse me. I'm looking at Bonnie right now. Sorry. Okay. Not perfect, everybody. Excuse me. Forgive me. Yeah. Yeah, everybody played an integral role. Eileen was very, very talkative in getting out there and talk to the people. So she did really well. Jane was very good at holding the sign and trying to make sure she was passing out the stuff. And Angelo, she was mainly holding down the fort. She was doing a little bit of talking here and there as well. But everybody's doing their job. Everybody's got a role to play. So when we go to do it on May 24th, which is a Wednesday, we're going to need as many people as possible to make it a party. What we're going to do is make it a big, big party for these new citizens. That's our goal. We're going to try to make it like, oh my God, like thank you, like welcome. You're a brand new American. That's the goal. We're going to make it a fiesta for these people. We're going to have a bunch of flags. I got somebody that usually does a professional kids parties. They're going to dress up like Betsy Ross with one of the 13 colony flags. We're going to make it a big affair. That's what we're going to do. Because who wants to go to a party that's not fun? Nobody, right? So we're going to make it a fun party. That's what we're going to do. And hopefully the Marxists haven't picked up on that. Because they literally had 0 American flags at their table. 0. Not 1, right? So hopefully they didn't learn from me and decide to have one next time on the 24th again. So we'll see what happens. But if you want to, write down right now, put in your phone, May 24th. If you can get there at 8 a.m., you're awesome. But anytime is good. We're going to need the people. So, put it in your phone right now, your calendar, whatever. I'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. Yes, it's Wednesday, but hey, you know what? That's the day they do it. So,
where?
Oh, that's right. Pasadena Auditorium, excuse me. Pasadena Auditorium, right down the street from us right here in Victory Park. So it's not far. And we need people that speak languages, like obviously Spanish. Anybody that speaks Mandarin, Russian, maybe Farsi. So if you know anybody that speaks those languages, awesome. And it's gonna be a great event, and I assume that we're gonna be much, 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 much more successful. And it's not a rally. You're coming to work, okay? So make sure that you get out of rally mode for this. Okay, and we're actually trying to register voters. They don't want to register with you. Hey, that's fine. We got a solution for that. We got little cards, little quarter sheets that say, hey, go to this link, and hopefully they register on the GOP website right then and there when they get home and when they have time. So we've got all the contingencies planned, and if we have time, I would really, really like to role play with some of you as we're doing this, because it is sometimes a new experience. It was for me. And it's always good to practice. So how are we doing on time, Ash?
2 minutes.
2 minutes? Okay, cool. So I've made some various links. So we'll have everything ready for you. But if you want to get a hold of me and ask more questions, what I need, what can I bring, I've created this phone number. So if you want to write this phone number down, 626-600. Oh, okay. I'll repeat it. But it's 626-600-8130. And I will repeat that again. That is 626-600-8130. And if you didn't get it last time, that's 626-600-8130. Call me, text me, leave a voicemail, whatever, if you have a question. Okay, if you know somebody that wants to attend, give them that number so that way they can get a hold of me, please. Because, we need people that are serious to do this. Because if we don't, then all of this is for nothing. And we might as well just go home right now. Okay? So, with that, I think Tosh is next. And, let's bring up Tosh in the next portion of the meeting. All right.
All right. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. And once more, that number is 626-600-8130. Okay. So if you want to get involved in registering brand new citizens to vote, that's a great thing to get involved with. And you'd be introducing new Americans to our wonderful republic. So get involved. Okay, so next we have the incomparable Toshio Onaga. Now, Tosh has been out there on the streets fighting the mask mandates and doing everything he can for us patriots for years now. For 3 years, he's been out there passing out information to businesses all over the place. And Tosh is going to tell us about the Beverly Hills Freedom Rally, which is starting again. So let me introduce Toshio Onaga.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Thanks, guys. So the Beverly Hills Freedom Rally, we had it's up and running again. The original one started 2020. It was August of 2020. And it started off with like 40 people, but then we worked with, well, Shiva worked with the hashtag walkaway group, who brought in like several hundred people. It was a huge rally. And then right after, the week after that, it was Save Our Children rally. And we were just passing out flyers, letting people know about the Beverly Hills Freedom Rally. And it just happened right at the right time. It was a blessing. You know, it was God. We really think it's God's divine hand behind that, because just the timing and just the way things all just lined up, the people we met, it's a very unique, special movement and rally, and we'd like you all to join it. It happened from August to January, the beginning of January, I think, and so it was going on for several months. Every week, 2020 to very beginning of 2021, and at the very height of it, there was about 5,000 people. Oh, wow. I mean, the Halloween one, they had to close down Santa Monica Boulevard because there were just so many people, and it was just incredible. PragerU came, Brandon Strock came, Simone Gold came. The marches were just ridiculous. It was, at first, you know, it was just the 40 of us, you know, marching through Beverly Hills, but at the end of it, who knows how many people were there. It was crazy. And they had like two rallies. MAGA Hulk was there. They shut down the march itself, shut down the crossroads in the Beverly Hills shopping area and Rodeo Drive. And it was just crazy. You can look it up on and Trump even talked about it. He tweeted it. And, you know, a lot of me, Ash, all the people, a lot of the people we know right now, you know, I won't be here if it wasn't for Beverly Hills Freedom Rally. It literally changed my life. And all the protests, so Beverly Hills Freedom Rally itself, there was tons of networking going on. But then out of that came all the protests, you know. So now we're bringing that back. It's kind of a launching pad for all the other stuff that we can do in the Los Angeles County. And so we're bringing it back. So we're going with – right now it's not once a week because we're going to wait till more – until the election time draws near, and it will be it'll be once a month. The last Saturday of every month we're going to have the rally, and we're going to have like specific themes for each rally. So this theme would be free the January 6ers, because there's a lot of people still in prison. And they were wrongfully detained. We all know it was a psyop. We all know it was BS, you know. And they wanted it to happen. I mean, look at what Tucker Carlson released. I mean, we've known that from the start, and from what people told us who were there. But Eric Christie, one of the Patriots, he used to come to this event and Healthy and Free a lot. He's detained right now for something that he didn't even do. He wasn't even in the Capitol. But this theme, we're doing a fundraiser for Eric Christie's lawyer. He's in D.C. right now. He's in D.C. prison right now. So that's going to be our theme for May 27th, the upcoming Beverly Hills Freedom Rally. And if you go to Give, Send, Go, you can check out his Give, Send, Go website. They're trying to raise $25,000 for his lawyer. Yvette Chambers created it. And, so if you go to Give, Send, Go, the title is Help Eric Christie. And the goal is $25,000, and we've reached $6,906 so far. So, so the link will be below the video. And just stay connected to Beverly Hills Freedom Rally. We got the link. We got the Instagram link that I sent Adam, so he can post it. We have an Instagram link now. It's a new link. And we have a YouTube link with all our videos and all our past and present protests and rallies and all the interesting things that go on. It's a very special rally. It's unlike any other rally. It really isn't. It's very unique and special to us. So I think you all should come and join it. It's really something else. Well, hold on a second. Oh, yeah, so Ashley, who I met at the Beverly Hills Freedom Rally, he's going to say a few words as well. All right.
Just a few words from someone real quick. Most of you know me. My name's Ash, you know, Patriot, but la-di-da-di-da. Anyway, during 2020, obviously, we're all probably a bit miserable, and, you know, hey, we got a pandemic. It's going to kill us all. But anyways, long story short, I was really down in the dumps, drinking way too much, and then I had a good buddy, Tony, said, we bumped into each other. We used to work together years and years ago. And he said, why don't you come to this Freedom Rally? I said, what's that? And we had coffee and he told me. And okay, well, why not? Sounds like fun. So I went to Beverly Hills. And then I saw all these people having fun, waving the American flag, going, damn, no one's wearing a muzzle. These guys actually looking like they're smiling, having a good time. So I joined in and I never looked back. I met Tosh, I met Ben, I met, you know, Brandon, everybody. And it was just a fun time, guys. So I encourage all of us to get there. And it's a great way to red pill people on a number of different topics, like you name it, you know, COVID, you know, Agenda 2021, Agenda 30, you know, whatever's coming, climate change, you know, all these hoaxes. So yeah, I definitely encourage everyone to come along, and you make some good friends. I basically traded in all my old drinking buddy friends for people at the rally. It's true. I don't hang out with them anymore. Seriously. So, you know, I traded in the old for the new, and I never look back. So, you know, come on down if you got any doubts.
Yeah, people are waking up. You know, that we had one rally one rally last month, and people are waking up. The way more honks from the cars, thumbs up, you know. And because before in 2020 when we started, there was much more middle fingers, and it's pretty funny. Like sometimes they'll be so passionate, they'll be so angry, they'll slow down their cars and to give, you know, shout at us and give us a middle finger. And a few times, one of them, they took a Trump sticker, and they'll since the car's rolling so slow, they'll put a Trump sticker on their bumper. It was pretty funny. Yeah, so it was pretty funny. Lots of great stuff. You know, you guys are going to have a great time. So please join us and check out the links. And, that's pretty much all I got. Wait, Ash is going
to... Just one more thing real quick. It's hilarious. So we used to see some kids used to kind of stumble upon the rally, like some little 13-year-olds. Now, 3 years later, we see the same kids, a lot taller, almost like adults. It's just funny. Oh, it's funny to me anyway.
And if I can say one thing, I got to... There is no more empowering, fun feeling than being part of hundreds of Patriots marching through the streets of Beverly Hills, basically invading Beverly Hills. So you definitely want to be a part of that. Come on down.
Yes. All right. So tell us one more time how we find you.
It's through, you can just check out the link. It's the Beverly Hills Freedom Rally. On Instagram, YouTube, there'll be a link there. So YouTube's a little bit hard to find because they shadow ban people. But we have a Beverly Hills Freedom Rally YouTube channel and Help Eric Christie. That will be the fundraiser for Eric Christie's court case with his lawyer. So that is on Give, Send, Go. Help Eric Christie.
All right, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Tosh. And I went to the last Beverly Hills Freedom Rally, and it was awesome. So if you can go, I highly recommend it. All right. So thank you, Tosh. Now we have a very interesting speaker. Bonnie Wallace will be coming up to talk to us today about the La Cañada Memorial Day Parade, which takes place on Monday, May 29th, in La Cañada. This is under the California Republican Assembly group? Okay. Well, let me introduce Bonnie Wallace. Come on up. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to make two quick announcements, and then I'm going to share my tall tale with you. The first announcement, like Adam said, is be in a parade. We need lots of patriots to come out and perform in the parade. The Democrats show up every year. When? Oh, hi, Claudia. It's Monday, May 29th. That is Memorial Day. The parade starts at 10:30, but I'm asking people to be there at 9:30. A.M. We walk about a mile down Foothill Boulevard, okay? We're going to have a banner. Everybody is to wear red, white, and blue. If you can do something special, can you hula hoop or rollerblade or do some, you know, cheerleading or something, we would love to have any kind of performing arts. But please wear red, white, and blue. We'll have some flags. You can pick up a flyer here. There's also a URL, craparade.eventbrite.com. That's my first announcement. My second announcement, this is really important. The CAGOP, that's the California GOP, you know, Republican Party, they are having a convention in Anaheim, September 28th, September 29th, 30th, and October 1. This is the CAGOP, the California Republican Party. We want the California Republican Party to endorse Trump for president. They do not want to do that. They will do anything they can to not endorse Trump for president because they're establishment. We need patriots down in Anaheim that week, that Saturday, September 29th or 30th. I think it's September 30th. We are going to have T-shirts. They're going to be red. On the back of them, they'll say, like, California for Trump or something like that. We would like everybody to get one of those T-shirts and come down to the Anaheim Hotel, the Marriott, to show a presence that California wants Trump. and wants the CAGOP to endorse Trump. Got it? Capiche? Okay, those are my two announcements. Now, I'm going to share my tall tale with you, okay? This is about 6.5 to 7 minutes long, okay? I think you'll enjoy it. This is a tall tale, but you have to pay attention, because if you don't listen, you won't enjoy it, right? So listen up. This is a tall tale of what might be 50 years in the future. The year is 2073. Things are quite different. America has changed. Concepts, understanding, history, all rearranged. Humans became hackable. They were monitored under the skin. All sorts of data was taken, and it was branded a win-win. Circuitry, wires, nanotechnology. We became the vessel. They ran the methodology. They tracked our every move and knew where we've been, what we did, who we saw, and the money we spent. Then they tracked our brain waves and decoded our thoughts and could tell if we were thinking right or not. And then humans changed and merged with AI. Have you heard of singularity, cyborgs, and hive minds? For those in on this scheme, it's been a dream come true. Transhuman reality is no longer taboo. How did they do it? It wasn't so hard. People believed them and let down their guard. Smart graphene oxide was implanted in them. Many complied, but there was some mayhem. And people were monitored 24/7, whether they knew it or not. Very few questioned. The Internet of Things got connected to people. And now we don't have to move, and they call us sheeple, and everyone's fine. The news says we're better. No one is fighting. It's better than ever because we are monitored from the inside out. When we are hot, fans turn on and turn off when we're not. We speak our commands and sometimes just think them. And miraculously, lights turn on, food gets cooked, and music starts to hum. And when we are sick, they sound an alarm and deployed are the medicines already stuck in our arm. They activate on demand or from someplace remote. The payload is delivered, the right antidote. And do you remember the $6 million man? I'm dating myself. Look him up if you can. It was a show on TV as well as the Bionic Woman. I would watch them both and thought they were good ones. These people were made of bionic parts. They could see really far and hear things really soft. They were faster and stronger. Their powers were super. They were supernatural beings in part computer. I'm blanking. and part humans were cloned with incredible features. And now we're nearly invincible, but less sensitive creatures. And the best thing of all in 2073 is the programming that succeeded in making us be like-minded in so many ways. Everyone agrees we're on the same page. We don't look alike in structure or feature, but we believe the same thing. We all had the same teacher. There's no disagreement on any one topic. And if there's conflict, it's microscopic. Everything is fine. Nothing's out of place. We humanoids move in sync and all with a straight face. Things changed in the world. It happened all in lockstep. The whole world agreed, critical thinking in check, and little by little, humanity morphed. Some went easy, some by force. But in the end, we merged with AI, and this new race seems unified. Food arrives, no one is crabby. We were told we'd own nothing and still be happy, and so we are this humanish tribe. We're a well-oiled machine and share the same vibe, much more so than the original race of humans who once roamed this place. With their emotional baggage and needing of resources. They disagreed and fought and had many discourses. but they were humans, not machines, which makes it messy and not so clean. And they also brought life and soul to the place, a diversity of ideas and a spiritual embrace of the arts, music, nature, and rhyme. Their imagination was inspired from the divine. They sang and danced and were of the sublime. Something is missing during this time. And do these original humans still exist with their messy emotions and many trysts? Yes, there are a few who live in the mountains. They live off the grid, maybe a few thousand, who escaped the cities and would not comply with the demands their government passed by and by. And like Bigfoot, they don't want to be seen. They live a simple life and stay away from machines. They trade and barter and live off the land. They've moved back in time but stood up to commands. And the one new world order has left them behind. But they didn't want to be intertwined with machines and bots and mind control plans. They wanted their sovereignty and to have their own land. But if they are seen, they will not last long. No one wants anyone who can't get along with the programmed agenda that is so omnipresent, so they stay out of sight, but they will not be acquiescent. So, friends, where would you like to be 20 years from now in 2073? In the city with cyborgs connected by Bluetooth? Or up in the mountains pursuing your own truth? The decision is not so easy to make, and some might say, Bonnie, this is fake. The question is completely 100% rhetorical. How you answer matters not here in the physical. This is a tall tale of what might be if we're not careful in 2023. It could read like a cautionary tale. I'll let you decide which one prevails. Maybe I'm crazy and seeing too much. Or maybe we've lost some of our human touch. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie, very much. Okay, folks. So this pavilion has been booked already. I just found that out. So we're going to need to shift over to the sunny pavilion right over there. And I'd like everybody to pitch in to help move things and help Kenny and help Brendan and help everybody get stuff moved over there. And then we'll start up again with Yvette. Okay, folks. So our next speaker is Yvette Chambers. And Yvette is going to be telling us about the Free Now Foundation. So, Yvette, come on up and tell us all about it.
Hello, old warriors. It's nice to see everybody that I recognize and your new people that I don't recognize. Hello to all of you. We've been here for a while. I can honestly say, and I think you guys might agree with me, that ignorance is not bliss. It is not. And we've all been warriors for over 3 years, and we've all had faith that we've affected another person's life in the work that we've done. And that faith for me is that we've helped that one person has stepped up and helped another person. And in the near future, an avalanche of change occurs. So I just want to take my hat off to all of you guys that I've seen from the beginning. Thank you so much for still being here. Well, I'm still here. Before I get into Children's Health Defense California Chapter and Free Now Foundation, I was just chatting with a few people, and I think I should update everybody because I think you all know me as the Affidavit Movement. Isn't that kind of what we called it when we just started doing it? I want to let everybody know that the affidavits are still valid because the affidavits call out fraud. Fraud has now statute of limit. You can't murder somebody or fraud somebody, and 10 years later, they're like, sorry. Yeah, that was 10 years ago. It doesn't work that way. We're in the United States of America. It doesn't work that way. So what I did after doing 6,000 affidavits, I know, 6,000. I stopped counting after six. we started going after the superintendents, if you guys remember, because it all of a sudden shifted to kids going to school. Do you guys remember that? And it was bad. Do you remember how bad it was? Some people started signing up on Microsoft Daily Surveillance Pass, which was so disgusting that they eventually dropped the word surveillance, and then they dropped the word Microsoft. Turns out it's much less painful when you just call it the Daily Pass. Sounds like you're getting, you know, like a free coffee with your meal. It's ridiculous. It's evolved, the affidavits. And I went after Santa Monica College, and I served them an affidavit, a fee schedule, a cease and desist. Then I served them another document that basically they had to either agree with or disagree with. And it was about 150 points. And all of the points were the science, which we all know the science. Toshio's been fantastic at making flyers with all of the science in it. And we've made copies and we've been handing them out to restaurants, for instance, in the beginning. And so I, after serving them, let's see, the cease and desist affidavit with the fee schedule was the first. The conditional acceptance letter was the second thing I served them. Then I served them a fault notice, which I just mailed to them, and it said, you're at fault. It's been 30 days. I haven't heard from you. Then I sent them a default notice that said, you're way past 30 days, and here's my bill. So I gave them a true bill in commerce. So the things that I shifted from when we were all doing is I added a fee schedule based on Title 18. Title 18 is about 800 pages long. So when you're going through it, you can just do a search for the dollar sign. And you'll find all the things, treason, everything, bribery. You'll see what the dollar amounts are. So I literally made a 6-page fee schedule, which I got to cherry pick from when they finally defaulted. I billed them $4 million. And then I said to them, I'm going to give you 2 weeks to cease and desist. And if I don't hear from you in 2 weeks, I'm going to treble the damages and I'm going to go to court and I'm going to get a summary judgment because you are out of line. And I got a private meeting with the board at Santa Monica College. They treated me like poop. It was they treated me like the redheaded bastard child. They were wondering why the hell I was there and why was I bothering to. Who are you? They said to me.
They found out.
6 days later, they dropped all the mandates at Santa Monica College. The affidavits work. But when we were doing the affidavits against the boards of supervisors, and then we took that affidavit they defaulted on and we served it to the sheriff, what we found out was the sheriff said to us, sue me. I'm not going to do anything about it. And that's what we found out early on in the pandemic, that the sheriffs were not indeed constitutional, that they kind of rode the fence between business people and government people. And what they were trying to do, I believe, is keep their jobs and make sure that the boards of supervisors, right, Bonnie, weren't, yeah, all of them, all the counties that we've served in. We've served in Riverside, Santa Barbara, Orange County, Los Angeles. Yes, John. Okay. I know. Actually, Nick did text me about you, and we'll discuss it. So thank you, John. So what we found is there's a few extra steps in the affidavit can work, but they're not easy steps to do. So at about February, I would have served Los Angeles Unified School District, right, as you know. But we had a couple complications. I'm representing 6 teachers, and for example, a couple of the teachers served their original paperwork. So I wrote up their documents, they went and got them notarized, and then they just mailed them in the mail by certified or registered mail and had no copy of what they served. So I don't have anything to hand in for a lawsuit. So we're redoing the paperwork. I know, it's not, they were like, I'm so sorry, no, you haven't ruined anything. Remember, this is fraud, and we've already served them notice, so it doesn't matter. But we are now on the next step. I would have served them this month. But as I sat down and did all the paperwork, I mean, I've got piles of it up and down my living room wall. I realized we were missing so much paperwork. And when I contacted the teachers, I found out, look, you know, I was basically telling them what to do. And there was a lot of gaps in what to do, right? It was hard enough as we were figuring it out. But they clearly hadn't connected with how to do the process. So it's not too late. We are still going after LAUSD, and we're going to sue them. So it's not too late, right? They need to be sued. The teachers need to be sued. But now you guys are all familiar with Children's Health Defense, right? So I've been an ambassador with Children's Health Defense since the pandemic started. Except I was so busy doing the affidavits that I didn't have time to really be there for them. So like Jane, I stepped in and said, what graphic work can I help you with? Because that was about as much as I could do for them. Well, now I've stepped up and I am the lead admin for the Legal Warriors Club that we created through Children's Health Defense California chapter. The Legal Warriors Club was created so that it would have funds that directly supported the lawsuits. You guys, the lawsuits are where it's at. You know, when you look at Big Tobacco was laughing at the litigating attorneys the first time they got into court. You want to know why? Because they kicked the attorneys' asses. And Big Tobacco thought they were impenetrable. They thought they were impervious. They thought they were just on top of the world, and they would continue to lie and use the CDC to say that it doesn't cause cancer, when they knew it did because their own internal documents showed it. Well, they ended up getting an internal document, and those same litigating attorneys came back into court and kicked Big Tobacco's ass, and 20 years of litigation followed. And what did they do? Big Tobacco left the United States and they went to China. They went to South America. So we're really supporting the lawsuits. We have 5 lawsuits at Children's Health Defense, California chapter. We've had 2 lawsuits that we've already settled. As you guys know, we have the Peggy Hall lawsuit. Real criminal, we're appealing that. We have I'm not even going to go over them because I got the 2-minute mark. But the Legal Warriors Club supports the lawsuits and supports the attorneys specifically. Now, I want to point out that Children's Health Defense National has decided to take over 20 of their charters, okay? Scamdemic starts. National says to the states, if you can do something at your state, we're going to give you a charter. So that's what they did with us. They gave one to New York. They gave one to Washington. They gave one to Arizona. There were a lot of states, Florida. Okay, Texas, they all have charters. We got EIN numbers and contracts. Things have changed. They amicably removed all of their charters. So Children's Health Defense is now national. There's a few charters left out there, but they'll be gone. And they pulled our charter. But we separated amicably. We kept our EIN number. And we formed Free Now Foundation. And this is our new logo. So we are the original chapter. We have the same legal team. We have the same board members. We have the same attorneys. We have the same president, executive director, who are heading it all, and the same ambassadors like myself and like Jane, who helps us with all of our print. Yeah, Jane. Thank you, Jane. So we meet in West LA every other Tuesday. If you guys are interested in being on that list, just tell me your email. I'll put it into my phone. Make sure you're put on that list. And come to our live events this coming Tuesday. We have Jennifer Sharp speaking in person on a Q&A after we screen her film. It's Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. The film is Anecdotals. Anecdotals is a film made by Jennifer Sharp, and we're screening it. And she was called Anecdotal. She's in the movie industry. She took the shot because they told her to, and she wanted to keep working. And she ended up having, well, I don't know, kitchen soup and stuff. Throw something at me and I'll tell you if she has it. You guys already know what the side effects are. And she, unfortunately, drew the short stick. And she's messed up. And what they said to her with all of her tremors and all of the problems with her body was that she was anecdotal. So these are the things that we're doing as the new Children's Health Defense California chapter called Free Now Foundation. And I look forward to connecting with all of you and sharing our success in courts, because that's where we're going to really set precedents and kick ass. Thanks, everybody. I love you all.
Okay, thank you, Yvette, for that. Really appreciate it. And I do believe the legal route is the way to fight this battle and win it. So everybody that can, please do get involved and help Yvette. And we also have one of our people's rights members who spoke here before, Kirk Beck. He is filing all sorts of small claims court actions, and he wants our help with that. And Kirk is willing to put on another class on how to do that and to get people involved in doing that. So please get in touch with, I guess I'm going to be the head ringleader on that one. So get in touch with me if you want to get involved with filing small claims court actions. But right now, we're going to try this. We're going to bring in somebody remotely to talk to us over the phone. Now, this gentleman is, his name is Mike Salisbury. And Mike is one of our members up in Lake Arrowhead. So Mike is spearheading an effort to get people's rights united and working with other patriot groups around the area, and he's had some success with that. And up in San Bernardino, they are working on this very diligently. Mike, go ahead and say hello, and let's see if we can hear you.
All right, I'm saying hello.
All right, great. We can hear you. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let Mike Salisbury take over the audio for a moment, and let's hear about his initiative to unite us with other groups. So, Mike, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I am very excited to be part of this event, but I have a very brief and succinct message. And here's what it is. My experience in the conservative realm is that a lot of people are very interested in becoming informed so that they can defend and discuss things from a conservative point of view in an intelligent and rational fashion. And there are organizations like the Epoch Times that does a good job of revealing some of the circumstances that may have a negative impact on conservative values. But my contention is that it really is only a limited value to be informed. Although it's good, it only has limited value, because being informed doesn't make things better. So what I've discovered is that so many conservative organizations operate in an extremely independent fashion. For example, the Republican National Committee doesn't really reach out to the variety of organizations that exist so that they can maintain a consistent platform and communication. In fact, most conservative organizations, and I don't think it's much different than other organizations that are attempting to pursue political matters, require that you contribute by giving them money. And when they ask for money and you say to them, okay, what are you going to do with this money? Their position is, well, we're going to fight for conservative causes. Well, I don't know about you, but if I was going into a boxing match and I had a choice between one boxer who was going to fight and another boxer who was going to win, I'd want to put my money on the boxer who's going to win. And the problem is clear to me that these organizations operate independently. There isn't much coordination between organization A and organization B. Now, there is an exception from what I've discovered. For those of you who are familiar, there's a group called Judicial Watch that prides itself in actually accomplishing things and does a good job of sharing with its membership what it has done and what fights it has won. So they're kind of an exception. So what I thought is, if we could get the People's Rights Operation connected to like-minded organizations, but start to cajole and work together to accomplish conservative goals, we could be a very powerful impact on our society and overcome some of the left-leaning liberal ideologies that are destroying this country. So, my challenge to you is this. If you're the kind of person that just wants to be informed, I'm proud of you, but that isn't something I can really help you with. If you want to be more than informed, if you want to be involved, that requires a minimum amount of time, no financial investment, and a opportunity to make a difference, I encourage you to contact me and I can show you how we can do it. I've created a project plan that is very easy to comprehend, and all you have to do is determine which element of the project plan you're interested in. So, here's my name, my contact information, and if what I've said in this brief presentation may be of interest to you, I encourage you to contact me at your leisure. So, it's Michael Salisbury. My phone number is 818-970-0730. And my email address is hralliance@att.net. That's hralliance@att.net.
Again, Michael, let me interrupt you for just a second, Mike. Can you repeat that one more time for everybody? And we'll also include that in an email that's going to go out to the whole membership. But go ahead and repeat it one more time.
Sure. My phone number again is 818-970-0730. And the email address is hralliance@att.net. Adam,
all right.
Do you need anything
else? Thank you very much. No, we will we'll put that out to our membership. And thank you very much, Mike, for spearheading this effort. And what we need, folks, is for volunteers to step forward and help Mike accomplish this. So anybody that would like to participate in reaching out to these other groups and getting us to work more closely together, please contact Mike at the numbers he gave. But thank you very much, Mike. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, folks. Nick Yaya here, area assistant for People's Rights. Hello, everyone. So while we're getting our next speaker on the phone, just wanted to take a few minutes, kind of fill in some dead space here, right? Give you something to listen to. Or you can speak amongst yourselves. I don't know. Probably find that more interesting. Why did the chicken cross the road, Ben? To get away from Bill Gates. Very well. Speaking of Bill Gates, I've got a picture of him here in my deck of cards. I don't know if you all have heard of these yet, but this is a deck of cards that I created called COVID's Most Wanted. And in it, there's, there he is, Bill Gates, the Ace of Spades. And Bill is one of the people responsible for this whole COVID scamdemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it. Bill's been the one who's been pushing vaccines for a very long time. So I decided to put him along with all these other people.
Please state your name after the tone, and Google Voice will try to connect.
Deck of cards called COVID's Most Wanted. So you can find them at COVIDsMostWanted.com. That's COVIDsMostWanted.com. At the website, you'll find all the information about these people. I have the evidence. Talks about the crimes they committed, who they did it with, you know, how it all went down, like how Fauci colluded with Peter Daszak from EcoHealth Alliance to get the funding over to the Wuhan lab, and who did all the research over at the Wuhan lab, you know, Xi Xing Li, the Batwoman, and George Fu Gao from the CDC of China. So that's all here in COVID's Most Wanted. If you want to get your hands on a deck of these cards, I have some here today. They're $15. I do take cash. I also accept, PayPal, Venmo, cryptocurrency. I don't know if you've got some cryptocurrency. I'll take that as well. Yeah, I do. I do. I do free shipping on online as well. I did have a store set up on Etsy. They keep, for some reason, I had it up there for a year, and they keep taking it down now, stating that I'm violating their terms of service because in my, yeah, it is. As soon as I started marketing them on Instagram is when all of a sudden I started getting hit by these takedown notices from Etsy. So, but I'm going to get another store up and running through a different site. So, but those will be available soon. It does free shipping anywhere in the U.S. Yeah, these are a lot of fun. A great way to educate people. As to, and they make a great gift, and like I said, it's a great way to tell people about what happened, what went down. It's a great conversation starter, so something to have at parties. You can play poker with them too, so poker cards. Anyway, thank you.
I'll call you.
It's the Patriot Price.
All right, folks. So we were having a little bit of difficulty getting a hold of our next speaker, so I think Jane wants to come up and tell us something. So come on up, Jane.
I just wanted to say something related to what Yvette was talking about. So this is a group called Freedom to Choose, and my husband is a plaintiff. There's three or four groups. There's the LA County. We're suing the LA County, the LAUSD, which Eileen is a part of, and LA County Educators, and the state of California, and the city of Los Angeles. My husband is an employee of the city of Los Angeles. And so this has been going on for over a year, and we just were at court on Wednesday, and that was for LAUSD group, and at first the judge was going to throw it out. But we were all there, all supportive, and the and our attorney, Sonny Wise, presented our side of the story because they were ignoring all the information that we were giving them, meaning the LAUSD and the county. They were just ignoring us. So she reiterated everything that we have in the case. And so at the end, the judge said he will take it under consideration. And so he will see us next Wednesday. So next Wednesday is the city of Los Angeles. We're going to do the same thing. And then at the end of the month will be the state of California. So if you guys want to be in the gallery and support us, we would like you to join us in court at LA Superior Court. Thanks. It's this Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., and then I believe it's the end of the month, a Wednesday, the 31st, at 9:30 a.m., Superior Court. So just text Los Angeles, Stanley Mosque, Superior Court. Yeah. So let me know. If you have a question, you can just contact me. Thank you. Oh, wait, one other thing, real quick. Maybe somebody already mentioned, God's Guns Government. May 17th, Dr. Douglas Frank is going to be speaking at about 6 to 9 p.m. So that's just an open invitation. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane. All right. Thank you, Jane. So as you can see, we've got a lot going on in people's rights. And what I'd like to do now, if Nick is available, where is Nick? If Nick could maybe just come up and give just a brief update on the Hendershot Generator Project and what we've got going there, just so we have the current status of everything. But let us know. Thanks, Nick.
All right. Hendershot Generator. Got it working. I'm providing free energy to my whole neighborhood now. So it's great. The process goes on. In terms of trying to determine whether or not, you know, this is going to be the direction we want to move in, whether or not this thing's going to work. I recently met a gentleman, Rolando Solnaro. Is that correct? Did I get it right? And so I met him at the Beverly Hills Freedom Rally last weekend. I've seen him around for a long time. He's been around for a while. But we got... Yeah, we just got to talking. We got to talking about, you know, free energy and about using electromagnetism and these sorts of things. And turns out he's an electrical engineer, and he's into that sort of stuff. And so, you know, I said, hey, this is great. Come and join us and help us better understand how this works. And so I'm getting together with him. We're going to look over the schematics, and we're going to look over some of the documentation that comes with the Hendershot generator to see how this thing works. And, you know, he actually was able to help me understand. There was a part in the schematics where there were two elements that weren't connected to the rest of the circuit, and I just didn't understand how that worked. But he showed that basically when coils of wire are close to each other, the electromagnetic field can jump across. So that's kind of how that works. So again, now we have a better understanding of that. There are a couple of other generators that Ash included in the information he gave me that I haven't looked into yet. And then Rolando also knows of and has some really cool information on other types of systems that use magnets and coils of wire and, you know, things, these armatures to create electricity. So this is something that even if Hendershot generator doesn't work out, this is a project that is going to be ongoing and something that we're going to continue to investigate as a way to help liberate ourselves and others from the need for, you know, paying for electricity and paying for energy so that we can live independently and live, if need be, off the grid completely. All right? Don't have to depend on anybody else. And that's really what it's all about, folks, because as we saw over this last few years, how dangerous it can be to be so dependent upon a government authority or some other entity, and how they can control your life so easily. And so the more that we can extricate ourselves from that, and the more independent we can make ourselves, the stronger we become. And bless you. And having access to energy or free energy is a part of that. Now I've also, and I'll hand this over to Adam. To post at the, or maybe I can post it also at the People's Rights website. It's a shopping list essentially for building your own solar generator. It costs money, about $2,000. Right now, these solar, they're big batteries. They're about this tall, about that big around, but you can use solar panels to, to charge them. And this whole system costs about $2,000 to put together, but it's something that you can have in an emergency, or even like my father, who built one, bless you. My father built one of these and uses it to run his television or charge his phone, or even was able to run his refrigerator for about 4 hours. So these systems are out there. And we should consider, and there's even a smaller version available for, you know, like $800 that you can put together. We should consider having these systems available to us in addition to working on, you know, what we would consider kind of the moonshot project, solar panels, right? Solar panels. You can pick up, you know, right now, 100-watt solar panel on Amazon for like $70-$80. And there's solar cells are about, you know, this wide by about this big, produces 100 watts of electricity that you can use to charge these batteries. So the expensive part is the battery, is what's called a generator. It's called it's an electrical generator, solar generator, but it stores the energy essentially that you get from the solar panels. So that's about it. Look for that on the People's Rights website. Adam, where would we put that in there? In the newsroom?
Yeah, we'll put that in we'll put that up in the newsroom along with all our other articles. And Nick, you have full privileges to post there, so we'll just put it up in the newsroom.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's it. Anybody have any questions about it? Yeah, come on up. So, this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is Rolando. OG? Yeah, step up to the mic. Yeah.
At the center, excuse my accent, you know, at the center of the problem with the society is the energy. If we don't have energy, you know, does it, the petroleum make us jumping very high. But it's time, it's over already, you know. But the people who want to make a lot of money from the petroleum industry, they don't want this kind of invention, you know, that they are already there, but they suppress them. So the idea is, I'm going to give you an example, very clear. You know, we had the Caltech over here. In the Caltech, they're going to tell you that the people who discovered the expansion of the universe was Edward Hubble, and they put the Hubble telescope over there. You know? And it happened that there was a Milton Hamilton, who born in some of this area over here, who was working over there in the Mount Wilson. He have a mule things, you know, and those mule things to transport things at the time. They were not a big road like the one that we have now. So they contract him, you know, to carry those big part of the Mount Wilson. And back in 1919, that was the bigger observatory in the whole planet at the moment, building over there. When they finished the thing, he was so impressed by the thing, you know, that he asked him to become a janitor over there. And he knew a little bit of electricity, too. So they gave the job to him, and he became familiar with the telescope. And then the assistant, you know, fell for some reason, and then he was in charge of the assistant. And he is the one who actually discovered the expansion of the universe and discovered the galaxy right there in that observatory you can see from here. You know, and this guy only went to the sixth grade. Wow. You know, he went to the second observatory bigger was in Arizona. And he went to this Chobo. It was a great astronomer at the time, very reputable. He discovered many, some of the things, you know, how to measure the distance in the star. And then this guy told him, you know, I look in this with the Mount Wilson already back in 1923. He said, it looked to me that these are galaxies, you know. And Chabal told him, no, because the other way we have to assume that there are many galaxies. It's only the Milky Way. You know, you have idea what the Milky Way is, about 100 billion stars around the Milky Way. Okay, it's only the Milky Way. And he insists, he went to Hubble. He was a lawyer, the amateur and astronomer, too. And Hubble believed him, you know, he said, you're right, might be. And then they discovered with billions of galaxies over there. This guy was sixth grade only. You know, you barely can hear see his name over there in the observatory museum that they have over there. But he is the one who discovered not only the galaxy, but the expansion of the universe at the same time. He was great, great mind. And with this go with the same thing with the volume of the new form of energy. We know there are some people who've been working, you know, the magnets. You have the magnets over there, and they can attach it for 1,000 years, and they don't lose the magnetic field that they have, you know. They can generate energy. Some people say, no, you have to, when you go in the electrical engineering, you in the college, they tell you, you have to move this thing around the magnet, the coil, in order to create energy. You know, you don't move, you don't create energy. But some other people have been working, arrange this magnet in certain way, you know, and they can propel, definitely, several ways to do the energy. We have the Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla, he only studied 1 year of engineering, you know, and he came over here to America, and he was the one who actually made the DC electricity that we have now, AC electricity that we have now, made possible almost everything that we have now. Nikola Tesla, more than 300 inventions, something. Edison, he only went to the 13th week in the school, and then he left. And he started his experiment by himself over there, you know, in the lab that he had. And then he developed the electricity, DC electricity, you know, which Tesla improved much, much more. My point is that if you don't take the lead in these things, you know, the college and professor and everything, they are buy by these big corporations. It's the people who have to push these things, you know. And we have to develop our own resources and see, because in the internet there's a lot of things fake. I've been spending a lot of money trying to discover some of those things, you know. And many, many things that are fake with the thing. They can put batteries, small batteries, and tell you that. But there are ways to test those things. So this has to be input of the people. Remember that almost everything that we have in the technology, like microchip, you know, the software and everything. Even the volume in the garage by people that college say is not my thing, you know. I don't want to diminish the value of the college. It's good. But it's being used in the wrong way to suppress the advances of humanity just to accommodate for those guys who have a big business in different things, you know. So, like in medicines, the pharmaceutical corporation, we have a chemical that is called acetaminophen. You know, the acetaminophen, where you can find this acetaminophen is in the mine, coal mines. So, from this element, you can make 600 medicines, different kind of medicines, for 600, just from this alone, you know. So, our medicines in base of these kind of things, you know, carbon. They don't allow other people to research in any other thing because they suppress them. So, this has to be impulse of the people. We, the people, like the Constitution say, you know, we, the people, have to take over the thing. You know, we have to take the research and put the right people in the positions that make decisions, because that is what keep us in the ignorance here. And we have so much to discover. We barely start to scratch the thing. There are some people who say, like the web telescope that we put over there, and then I say, there is no more to discover. This idiot, totally idiot, because the same scientific knowledge said that we only know about 10%. The matter that we see around is only 10%. The other one, 90% is dark matter and dark energy. They don't know. We don't know what it is. We can see the charts, you know, in a study, but we don't know what it is. And this idiot say that with only 10%, we only make everything. And they impose that in the new knowledge, you know, the calculus book that we have when you go in the engineering, five different calculus they had to pass for engineering, you know, are making the way that is very, very hard for the kid to understand the things, the new generation, because they come from the professor mind, you know, sometimes messed up for many different things. The Japanese people, the calculus books is very thin, you know, compared with the one that we have over here. They said like this, 1,800 pages, you know. So I want to keep with this. We have to take this over. We have to go trying to find the way how we can. There's a lot of people who want to help in these things, because the energy is the center of the development of the society. Now, if we, at this moment, if we have an asteroid, let's say 20 kilometers in diameter, you know, we're going to be, it's going to be over. You know, we don't have the technology to stop the thing. And it's because these people have been stopping the development of society. You know, if they don't stop with Galileo Galilei, with some others before, we already have to have the way how to manage this kind of things. So, thank you, and keep on with the thing, you know. And if we, the people, who have to, like the Constitution say.
Thank you. Okay.
Hi. 3 weeks ago, I went to Optum. Oh, Rachel Harding. Hey. Hi. So 3 weeks ago, I went to my clinic, Optum Clinic in Arcadia, and the security guard was trying to force me to put the mask on. It's the same day where the Los Angeles gave the okay. Yeah, 3 weeks ago. So the same day, I think it was the 4th, where they said you don't the mask is outdated now. You don't have to wear it. And I showed her. I said I don't have to wear it. So here's the news. She said no. Well, Optum has decided to keep that. So I said I don't want to wear it. I called the manager. He came down and he told me, you know what? You're singing to the choir. I feel the same way as you, but it's my job. I have to do what I have to do. So I didn't wear it, and I went in. Last week I went to the same clinic, and they don't have to. You don't have to wear it anymore. They said no. This it's up to you whether you want. So I just said I didn't make a fuss, but it worked.
Anyone want Q&A? Otherwise, we're going to wrap it up real quick, guys. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Thanks, everyone, for coming. We'll see you next week. That was a fun meeting, though.